How many people have been reading through James? Got a few of you? So a couple weeks ago, we started this series of preaching through this amazing letter of James. And I thought it was really cool. Pastor Matt just prayed that very specific prayer that we preach the gospel. One of the things that I learned at college was no matter where you're preaching, you will see the crimson ribbon of the gospel all the way through Scripture. And when we come to a book like James, the gospel is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is kind of a background theme, because he's speaking directly to those Christians who have already come to Christ. They've already surrendered. He starts this letter by acknowledging his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is speaking to people that he understands that they've already come to that knowledge of what it is to have a relationship with Christ. And so he's coming at them with these words of encouragement and of almost like someone belaying someone that's climbing. Do you know that term, belaying? Someone at the bottom holding the rope while you're climbing, and they're encouraging you as you're going up. And he's saying, you know, he's trying to help them. Okay, let's get extremely practical. Don't put your foot there. I can see. Don't put your foot there. Don't grab that rock. Reach over. And so, like someone that's going to belay at the bottom, James is giving these practical understanding of and working out of what does it mean to live the Christian life. So some of you guys have been reading through James, and you're all ready for your sermon, right? You're ready to preach your sermon. Are you, Marilyn? You got one? I can put you on the schedule? Oh, okay. But so one of my challenges as I'm reading through this is that every single verse that I come to, it's so good, it's so rich. And when you start looking, I mean, the very first verse I'm going to start with today is the one I told you a couple of weeks ago. I shared with you that it's my wife's favorite verse for me, right? Verse 19. And we're going to start there. If you don't have a Bible, this is one of those series where you just need to follow along. So find a Bible around you. There's some blue ones there, and we're on page, I believe it's 854. Is that right, Frank? You've got a blue one there? Page 854?
854.
Yeah, and so if you want to follow along, it would be great to have you right there with us. Thank you so much, Dorothy, for reading from the Message this morning. It just changes things just a little bit, and it makes us pay attention when we read it in just a little bit different wordage. And so here we go. I've so enjoyed studying through James again. I've done it with young people before, but I've never preached through this. And I was told in college this is the one book, the one letter in the New Testament that's kind of the hardest one to preach, because it can seem like a big hammer on us on a regular basis. There's so much in there that is just practical, down to earth. And so I want to get into God's Word and bring us right up to date. So here we are, we're in James, and I'm going to try this thing again. So James is a practical faith. Last week we talked in this first section, we talked about the fact that trials and temptations are going to come in our lives. And when trials come, trials demand wisdom. Wisdom demands prayer, and prayer demands faith. And as I was studying some more this week, I come to that very next verse after 18, where James challenges and says, you know, this faith that you've come to, this understanding of God, that he's going to show up, he's going to be there for you. And then he says this verse in verse 19. And he comes to this place where he says, you need to, even in your trials and your temptations, allow this to be kind of the guiding way of your life. Be quick to listen, slow to speech, and slow to become angry. My dear brothers, take note of this. my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's another proverb that it just seems like this. It follows this whole conversation about trials and temptations. And one source actually challenges that this verse is like the thesis statement. Do you know what who doesn't know what a thesis statement is? Okay, thesis statement is, I'm going to write a paper. Matt knows. I know he knows. You're going to write a paper, and you've got to write the very first paragraph is all about what you're going to end up talking about and trying to prove. So thesis is that statement that you're going to try and prove with the rest of your words. And so some scholars have actually said that verse 19 is the thesis statement for the rest of this letter. And they actually unpacked it, and I thought it was really interesting that this idea of being quick to listen is proved in chapter 1, verses 21, right through to 2, verse 26. About being slow to speak is covered in chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. About being slow to become angry then is found in chapter 4, verses 1, all the way through to 5, verses 18. And so, in a sense, this verse really comes down to, I love it because it's just so practical and everyday. It's one that I heard a long time ago, and I'm still trying to learn it. Do you know what I mean? Be quick, Trevor, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Let's go over that. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you want one that you need to memorize and put into your everyday life, this is one that you can just put in to your everyday life. It's one that helps us at every turn. I love what some people have said. They've said this, listen more, speak less. You were given two ears and one mouth, you do the math. God gave you two ears and one mouth. We need to listen more. You know, even in the middle of our trials, if I could back up to last week's message, in the middle of our trials, that wisdom that we need sometimes is, I know the wisdom I need sometimes, and my wife helps me with it. Trevor, shut up. And it's usually the gentle nudge under the table with the end of her boot. I need that. I need that sometimes in my life. Sometimes the wisdom that I'm asking God for is right in front of my face. Be quick to listen. Listen twice as much as you speak. Listen. So, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires for you or for me. James wanted to help his readers have the strength to face their trials. So he directed them where to find their strength. Oh, I missed a verse, and that's an important one. Let's back up. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires, but what does God desire of us? Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is around us that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that's planted in you, which can save you. I'm going to find the gospel. There it is, right there. God has planted His word in us. He has planted His understanding of what we need to do to have real life in this world. He has shown us the way forward. And so from this introduction, I know that there's at least two full sermons right here. But I wanted to just, this is a verse I'd love for you to memorize, put into your life. This is what Christ wants from us. And then we move on, because I think that there's another part of this passage that we're looking at today that God has called me to bring attention to here today. So James, he wants his readers to have this strength to face their trials. So he directed them. He told them. He helped them to see, okay, you want help? You want help with your trials and your temptations? Here's the arrow. It's going to point right here. Go here. And where does he tell them to go? He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Get comfortable in it and just relax, right? Yeah? Is that what we're supposed to do? Just read it and be comfortable with it? What? Speak up, Christian. Huh? I almost heard it that time.
Do what it says.
Do what it says. Oh, that's hard, isn't it? Because it's easy to come to church and listen to the preacher. It's easy to listen to, you know, even Bible on tape, or we can listen to a great podcast, or we can listen to someone postulate about, you know, God and what he thinks. But where the rubber meets the road is at this point right here. Do what it says. Do what it says, church. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. What has saved us? The power of Christ. His death, his resurrection, his sacrifice on our behalf. How do we know that? How do you know that? Someone told you. And who told them? They read about it somewhere. Where'd they read about it? Where did they learn? Where did they go to? And I think one of the challenges that I have in life is that people come and they ask me questions and they think that I am the authority, that I somehow should be able to answer them. And my desire is to redirect them just like James is doing right here. And where does he redirect them to? Hey, guess what? I know one or two things, but I don't know as much as I need to. But I know someone who does. My God. And he's given us his word for us to be able to read, to absorb, to think about, to ponder, to consider, and to step into and do. The strong word that saved them, that we talked about in verse 18, is still available to them today, his readers. But guess what? To us, to each one of us right here and today. Being available, having God available to us, sometimes it's not enough because he's willing and waiting for us to actually step in and engage with him and relate to him. The Word of God does not kind of infuse or inject its strength into us and into our lives apart from our part, apart from our responsibility, apart from us actually picking up God's Word and reading it. And so our challenge is not to just listen to this word. It's not to just pick it up and read, you know, for our nugget of wisdom. You know, and we do that old, you let it fall open, right, somewhere, and we read, and Judas went and hung himself on a tree. How's that supposed to encourage me today? No, I think we need to actually open God's word and read this story. Read it one-on-one between us and God. But read it also together, read it in community, study it together, and then practice and do what it says. The Word of God doesn't kind of infuse its strength into our lives. We need to step in and do our part. Actually open it, read it, understand it, do all we can to learn and understand it. The first part, though, is you got to actually pick it up. I know I said a few weeks back, I said, if there's someone here, you know, and you don't have a Bible actually to study from, that's the first part. We need to get you one. We've got some here at the church. And it was really cool after I said that, that we had someone come and come to Pastor Matt and said, hey, so Pastor Trevor said if we need a Bible, we could just ask for one. And it was really great. That's a great opportunity for us to be able to hand someone the Word of God that they can read and understand and study for themselves. How many Bibles do you have on your shelf? Why are you laughing? You can only read one at a time. We've got Bibles. We have a plethora of Bibles. I have I was going to bring them down and put them on a table. Because I know for me, my Bibles, I've told you this before in past sermons, but my Bibles all have special meaning to me because there was one that I got as a Christmas present from my non-believing grandparents because I'd asked for a Bible and they didn't know what to get me, so they went to a bookstore and got this Bible and gave it to me. And it's special because that was my first full year of really loving Jesus. And I just poured myself into that book. And my grandma, Loan, I found out about, you know, my heritage, and she sent me a Bible, and it has special meaning to me because this is the grandma who prayed her guts out for her grandchildren to come to the Lord, and that has special meaning to me. The first Bible I had in Bible college, it's all marked up. I was studying that sucker hard, and you know, each one of us has got those. But to have a Bible is one thing. To actually open it up and study it and put ourselves into the text so that we can actually see God and relate to Him and find those amazing statements that tell us, hey, see this? I want you to try this out in your own life and do it. So many places through the Scripture we find where maybe God is talking to somebody and He tells them to do it. So told Noah, I want you to just go and find a bunch of wood and make this ark and fill it with a bunch of animals. Oh yeah, I'm going to try that. Your neighbors might think you're a little cuckoo. They probably thought he was a little cuckoo too. But I mean, God's not telling us to go and build an ark. But what is he telling us to do through that story that He told Noah? You put your faith in Me. I want you to follow Me, even if it sounds crazy. I want you to follow Me because I have got life for you that will blow you away. See, listening to the Word of God it's important. Listening to understand, listening to hear God. We must always begin there. Many people, though, don't even start there. They don't even start with listening. They think going to church once a Sunday or Sunday once a week, that's going to be enough for them. This is not meant, this sermon, this message here today is not meant to hold you and sustain you in your Christian walk throughout this next week so that next week you can come empty again and get filled back up. See, that's not our job. Our job is to celebrate what Christ has done, to open up God's Word, to proclaim the simplicity and the beauty and the challenge, and then challenge you to go and live that, but live it by actually engaging in your own personal walk with Christ, so that when we come back, we celebrate what He has done in our lives throughout the week. We need to be clear, we cannot possibly succeed in the Christian life unless we actually open up and regularly intake God's Word. We need to regularly read and put ourselves into the Scriptures and learn what He has for us. And the challenge that I had this week, one of the authors that I was reading really challenged. He said, if you really don't have that desire to be in God's Word, you need to question where you're at in your spiritual walk with Christ. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty intense. That's a hard line. Because sometimes I don't feel like being in God's Word. Or sometimes I open it up and it's like a blank page. There's all those words, but I don't see nothing for me. Some days I have those days in the desert, and I don't know what to do with them. We start with prayer and we ask God, give me something so practical that here's something I can do. Well, you can't get very far in James without stumbling on some of these to-dos all the way through. Here's the very first one. Hey, don't just listen to the word, do what it says. So what is that telling you right here, right now? You need to open God's word, you need to read it to hear what it says, and then you need to do what it says. So there's already a do. You hear the do? Now, this is not about doing so that we get saved. That needs to be very clear. We're not talking about saving ourselves through the reading of Scripture, through the following of these things that will come up, and we see them on a regular basis. They say to do this in God's Word. Some people live that way. They don't enter into a relationship with God. They just start by reading and doing, or doing what they think a Christian is supposed to do. And it's through that doing they think, I'm good enough and I'm going to make it. And that's wrong. This doing needs to come out of this relationship. I want to know more about God. And because I want to know more about God, my relationship with Him, it causes me to think, oh man, I want to please Him. I want to live my life as worship to Him. And so I need to follow Him. I need to find out the things that God wants me to do. I need to find out what Jesus did and follow Him and do those things in my life. Like love people the way He did. No Christian obeys perfectly. I know that full and well. But every Christian who has a desire to obey God is making an effort in their own lives the best way that we can, even in the midst of our struggles and our failures that just keep calling us out. We just continue to come back to Christ, humble ourselves before Him and say, I want to know You more. And here's how I can know You more. I can open God's Word and read it. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In order to kind of drive home the importance of this matter of obedience, of listen and do, James likens the Word of God to a mirror. I brought this fancy one from home. Got my wife's permission. Just want you to know that. We all understand the purpose of a mirror, don't we? We're supposed to look at it this way, aren't we? Because it tells us a lot. He tells us about a mirror. If anyone has any familiarity with Scripture, when we read it, it becomes just like this. And you know what it shows me? It shows me there's some work to do. It really does. When I read Scripture and I come face to face with those parts in there that just it's like a hammer. It is like a hammer, and it comes at me, and it's like God has got so much to do with me and in my life. And it challenges me sometimes, because then I don't want to read it because He's going to show me something else I don't want to give up or I don't want to do. And it becomes really intensely hard sometimes. It is indeed, God's Word is indeed like a mirror. We cannot look for very long without seeing ourselves for what we are. But there's different ways to look in a mirror. And I think that this is what James is really kind of emphasizing for us in the verses of these texts. And so I think there's two very specific ways that he wants us to understand that we can read the text. And so the very first one is really simply the forgetful glancer. Let's read it. Read it with me. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Have you ever done that? Caught myself last week. I got up and I just had a quick look in the mirror and I went downstairs and I got my breakfast. It was my day off, so I got my breakfast and I put my boots on and got the dog and took him out for a walk. And I came back from the walk and Lisa was standing there and she said, have you looked in the mirror? No? Well, yeah, but no. Yeah, kind of. What? He said, your hair's like sticking straight out. Don't you think you should do something with that before you go outside into the public? It's my day off. I don't care. I'll put a toque on. Huh? Oh, like you have to worry. A little too much glare here today. I better fix that. Oh, thanks for laughing with me. Yeah, so we all know that there's lots of things that can go wrong with our faces. We depend on mirrors to tell us what's wrong. A man does not want to go out into public with a booger hanging from his nose. Woman does not want to go out into public when she missed a little bit with her lipstick and it got right on the end of her chin, right? I mean, and those are just the things, you know, I hate those ear hairs these days. They just keep growing, and so I spend hours in front of the mirror trying to get them, but you got to look just right so you can, you know the struggle. The struggle is real. We use these mirrors, and we try, you know, sometimes we use it, and we don't see ourselves properly, and we go out. But sometimes we need to understand this very simple and practical thing that sometimes we're forgetful glancers. We look in the mirror, but, you know, what do we think of those people that look and they know what it says in God's Word, but then they just go and don't do it? And we see them around us all the time. And you'd probably say there's absolutely no point in a person looking into God's Word if they're not going to really just, they're not going to do what it says. We have a word for those people, don't we? We all know it. It's that H word. We don't want anybody to say it about us, but in our hearts, we're using it all the time. That person's a hypocrite. They read the Word, but they don't do what it says. They come to church, but they don't live like a follower of Christ. The forgetful glancer. Looking in the mirror only works in our lives if we actually allow the action to come from it. Otherwise, it's useless. And with this in mind, we must say that there's a lot of useless looking in our churches. The Word of God, like the mirror, does its work. We look into it and it tells us the truth about ourselves. And then the responsibility rests squarely on us for stepping into the action that God has opened our eyes to. I know that he prompts me on a regular basis. Hey, Trevor, look back in the mirror again. Do you remember what I taught you this morning? Do you remember that verse that I challenged you with this morning? Hey, maybe here's a place to put it into practice. I know that that happens to me on a regular basis, but I also know that sometimes I need to write it down. And so sometimes if a verse comes and kind of sticks out to me, sometimes I use an acronym that I learned by a fellow by the name of Wayne Cordero. And he taught me this really simple thing, SOAP. When I do my devotion, sometimes I'll do SOAP. So I'll write down the scripture. I'll read the scripture, but I'll write down something that I know that he is saying something to me about. So I'll write down that scripture. That's the S. And then I'll look for the observation. What is it, God, that you're drawing my attention to here? What is that observation? What is an application that I can actually glean from this scripture right here, right now? What is something that I can actually do to work this out? And then I write a prayer. And I write that prayer, God, help me to work this into my life right here and right now. SOAP. Really simple. I think that the thesis of the Word of God commands us, really simple, to take action. Many seem to be waiting for something to happen to them, some great spiritual experience that's going to make them do what they ought to do, what they know they ought to do. Meanwhile, the Bible tells us to take responsibility for ourselves. It says, and it tells us, don't wait for a feeling. You need to just do what it says. You're listening. Now do what it says. There's no more urgent business for us than addressing those areas in our lives that we know that the Word of God is pointing and calling us, calling our attention to. And I bet each one of us knows some of those things in our lives that God has been calling our attention to. Here's an area that we need to work on. Here's an area where we need to be encouraged and challenged in. And many of us stumble there. We know the good that we ought to do, but we choose not to do it. They're like the witch doctor who saw herself in a mirror that was owned by a missionary. The figure before her was so hideous that she jumped back from it. And immediately maybe you're like that in the morning with the mirror, I don't know. Immediately she began to bargain with the missionary for the mirror. And realizing that she would not take no for an answer, the missionary finally agreed to deal for the mirror. No sooner was the transaction complete than the woman grabbed the mirror and dashed it to the ground in a million pieces. And the missionary asked why she did this, and the woman replied, "It won't be making ugly faces at me anymore." But you know what? The Bible, it reveals our ugliness. The Bible reveals our ugliness and shows it to ourselves. But the ugliness doesn't go away by us ignoring it. It only goes away as we take those proper measures to actually work it out in our life and obey the Lord and do what it says. And we can be thankful that James includes another option for us to think about. And that option is, you know, there's another way to read the scriptures, and that's like a thoughtful gazer. Verse 25 says, but, it's always the turning point, and right in the middle here, there's this but that helps us to see another way. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. This is the person who looks into God's word and continues in it. The word looks that's here in our scripture, it comes from a Greek word that suggests a lot more than just a casual glance. Curtis Vaughn says, it has the sense of looking carefully, closely, or seriously into a thing. Sometimes I know when something's broken, I have that thing inside of me that wants to fix it, right? And so I had a light switch that wasn't working here this weekend, and what did I have to do? Got to take it apart. I got to figure out, why isn't it working? I don't understand this. I did a little bit of research. I found out that this particular dimmer switch has got another switch on it inside. And you got to make sure that switch is switched to the right spot. Well, that wasn't working either. I want to know what makes this thing tick. I want to know. And so that's the kind of, so I do all the research that I can. It's kind of funny, I know Andrew's a great mechanic and I should just take my vehicle to him, but what do? I try it myself first. And I've done okay so far, I haven't got myself into too much trouble. But, you know, there's that sense that when I don't know how to do something, I'm going to go first. You know, there's a thing called Google? You can learn a lot from that thing. Yeah. So, I mean, I was doing my brakes, and I didn't know how to get these stupid things off, and then I found out this guy on there, he said, just take your 3-pound sledge and give her. And you know what? If you're replacing them anyways, it doesn't matter if they break, and it come off. But there's this different way of approaching the challenge, right? There's either ignore it and the brakes are just going to wear out and then you're going to get into trouble, or intently look into the situation and maybe do some learning, do some growing, or take it to Andrew. Matt? Oh, no, you already are.
Yes.
There's this different way of gazing at God's Word in such a way that sometimes we gaze at it and we need some help understanding it. So if we're looking at it and there's this word and it's being used crazy, and maybe it's good to get some help from someone who knows a little bit more or maybe has a resource to be able to help you. But the whole idea is that we need to look at it so that we can actually see what God wants to teach us, rather than just read it through and continue on with our day. So many times in my life, I've tried that. Okay, God, I'm being faithful to you. I'm doing my reading today. I read 3 chapters. Can't tell you a word of what I read. I have no idea what just passed from this year, inside, bounced around a little bit and out this year, but I don't know. And this is the point. Isn't it interesting that James here is referring to God's Word as the perfect Word that gives life? It gives freedom. God's Word is a law because it was first given by God for the express purpose of guiding and helping us to understand, even regulate our conduct. It's perfect because it was given by God Himself. God, who is perfect, cannot produce anything that is not perfect. It is the law of freedom because it gives us freedom. It gives freedom to those who submit to it. Satan, he works very hard to portray sin as the greatest freedom and God's Word as the greatest bondage. But just the reverse is true. Isn't it true that the devil would love to just make us think, oh, it's too hard to read. It's too hard to understand. It's too hard to get up earlier in the morning to spend some time with God. It's just too much trouble. And yet the opposite is so true. When we actually open God's Word, and we actually spend some time in it, and we see Him speak our language, speak to our heart, challenge us with something we know that we should do, but He's poking us again in such a beautiful and gentle way to say, hey, pay attention. Here's something for you to learn and grow with today. Just like a mirror, James uses this phrase for God's Word. It ought to make us realize how very blessed we are to have God's Word. The mirror, it shows us the truth about ourselves. Just this really simple picture. I was struck by this picture just in the intent that this guy's eyes seem to have. It doesn't look like he's looking at his face to fix his hair. Looks like he's looking into that mirror because he needs some help. Maybe not with what can be seen. I love that because that's the way I see God's Word. Sometimes it shows me the stuff on the outside I need to fix, but too often it shows me what's on the inside. And that stuff that I need inside. The law that gives us freedom. If we could only realize what we possess in God's Word, we'd find ourselves struggling less to be the forgetful, but to be the thoughtful gazer. I think we got to stop here. We got to make note of the promise that James attaches to this idea of looking carefully into God's Word. The one who does it will be blessed in all he does. That's an amazing promise. It's a promise that comes with our action. When our action gets, when we actually take action in what God's Word is telling us to do, here comes this blessing. We will be blessed. We're accustomed to defining words like blessed as kind of happy, that you're going to be happy. But it's better defined as fulfilled. The idea that we need fulfillment. People are constantly striving for peace and fulfillment. And they think that they're going to get it in some sense of happiness. And so we chase after the desires of the world around us and think that by assuming those and putting them into our lives, that somehow we're going to have the happiness that we so need. In fact, the opposite is true. When we stop and we walk away from the evil and the enticement of this world, and we walk into what Christ has for us, and we look intently into His Word, and we see that it's challenging us to do this, let go of this, and when we do those things, we find peace right there. James says it's found in doing the Word of God. We should not be surprised at this. We're made by God, and we're made for God. It doesn't make sense, then, that we could only find our fulfillment in the stuff around us. But we find our fulfillment in God Himself. If you want to be blessed, be a doer of the Word. James puts us to the test right here. Live according to the Word of God and see if James was not telling the truth about this whole matter. I think in order to listen to the Word and do it, each of us needs to actually step up and be a participant in this relationship with Christ. When do you have arguments in your life? Most of the time when I have arguments, it's because I'm not listening to the other side. I'm only listening to one side. I'm listening to what I want. Not always to what's best in the relationship, not always to what's best for even for me, myself, but often because I'm coming at that argument from my own perspective. And you know, I think so many times in our relationship with God, we get mad at God because He's not showing up, when it's not Him that's walked away from the conversation. It's us. By not doing what He's asking us to do. By not following after Him. Each of us has opportunity to do our part. I wanted to put this slide in just to challenge you. Maybe you are struggling with even just where to start these days, and I challenged you at the start of this series. If you don't know where to start reading the Bible, and you love Jesus, start in James and read it. And when you're done, I told you to do what? Read it again. And when you've done that, read it again. Read it until God is speaking to you and helping you to understand. Well, here's a friend of mine, I won't say her name, but she might own Tim Hortons. She challenged me in my own life one day. She said, "Have you ever checked out this BIOY?" I was like, "What in the world is BIOY?" And I've been a fan of the Alpha program for some years, and one of the people that originated Alpha, his name is Nicky Gumbel, great preacher over in charismatic Anglican church over in England. And Nicky Gumbel and his wife started putting out this simple reading through the Scripture in a year, and they do a really cool little devotional with it. You can do it 3 times a day, or you can do it once and do all 3 sections. But I wanted to just give you this simple resource, because sometimes I think James is so practical. I think we got to be practical. Hey, if you're struggling and knowing where to read and knowing where to study these days, here's a really simple and practical one you can go to. Just type in BIOY, Bible in 1 year, and it'll bring you to this website. You can have it on your phone or on your Google tablet or whatever you've got. It's a very simple way. You can just go right onto your computer and do it right there. It's really simple. It's been a great encouragement to me, because sometimes your pastor needs help to know where to go too. It's been a real good encouragement to me. But I think that James challenges us with the last part of this message in how to actually practically walk out what he's been teaching us. You know, to listen more and to speak less, to listen and to do. The forgetful glancer, that's one way we can read God's Word, or we can be the thoughtful gazer. And he finishes this passage this way. He says this, and may this be also our benediction. I'll have Matt, where did he go? Is he still here? So we'll have Matt come on up. He's going to lead a song for us. But I want this to be kind of our benediction. And would you take this even at now? We're going to talk about this word religion as we read in this scripture passage. I see that concept of, he says, religion that God our Father accepts. This is our worship. Religion is our worship. And so I think that would be a better word to use there. Worship that our God and Father. So let's back up. This is our benediction, and this is the way that we can work it out. Okay? The way we can work it out, I always give you a verse. Oh, that's done. A verse to memorize. And this is, I think, the proverb that we can take away today. It's verse 25 that we've already talked about. Verse 25, but the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he'll be blessed in what he does. This is our benediction. If anyone considers himself religious, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. See, religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans, those without a home or without a family, and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, this is how our worship is lived out. The message says it this way: real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Church, may we find some place this week to do what it says. Maybe it is in sharing a lunch with someone who needs it. Maybe it is in opening your eyes to see those that have less than you around you. Or maybe someone that is maybe a widow and needs some extra love and care. Maybe for you it's someone that you come across that their parents are gone, an orphan, or someone that's without home. May God bless you as you open your eyes to His Word and to do what it says this week.
This last song, I don't know if...